You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome one and all to another live broadcast of TPC as we head deeper into Confederate History Month 2024. We kicked off the series last week, a transitional week from one special series to the next, as you know. And tonight, though, we are really kicking our annual salute to the South into high gear with three fantastic representatives of Dixie. And it'll all begin in the next hour, hour number two, with Dr. Michael Hill of the League of the South and some great guests in hour three. Stay tuned. We'll unveil it all to you as we get there, segment by segment. Busy, busy, busy. That's all I can tell you. It has been so busy the last couple of months. The preparation for each show, for each three-hour show, is at least three times that during the week. You may not think it is, but it is, and unveiling it to you is the fruits of the labor. But in addition to that, there's a lot of great stuff. I just got to make this announcement very, very quickly before we bring Keith Alexander on. Some great stuff coming up in the American Free Press. I like to mention it at least once a show at some point during the 3 hours. But we've got an interview with Keith Woods, who you did hear from live on the air last month during March Around the World. But he's going to be next up for the American Free Press. Reuben Kaleb, a former member of the Estonian Parliament. He gave almost a PhD interview on the history of relations between Estonia and the former Soviet Union and why Estonians are still a little leery of Russia. And it's all coming up. And if you want to get it, be sure to subscribe at AmericanFreePress.net. I know a lot of you did subscribe. We ran the special gift subscription for people who donated during, I think it was the third quarter of last year. For our third quarter fundraising drive, many of you kept the subscription, renewed it for a full year, and I get emails every week from people saying they're enjoying these Q&As that we're doing, and we've got some great ones coming up in the next few issues. It's almost like a movie shoot sometimes. I mean, doing a live radio broadcast, you are hearing what I'm saying in real time. Well, maybe, you know, really, behind the scenes, it's about a 30-second delay between my mouth to your ears, but you're hearing it live. And with some of these interviews, it's sort of like shooting a movie where you shoot the movie and next year it comes out. Well, it's not quite that slow, but the American Free Press publishes, of course, twice per month. And you get an article in, and it sometimes takes 2 or 3 weeks to get to the mailbox. But anyway, they do get there in time, and they are still just as timely when they arrive. So be sure to support that. And it's just a nice way that we've been able to increase the audience, both in print and, of course, continuing on the air. So that being said, Keith Alexander still on the shelf for one more week. We think he's going to get doctor approval to start driving again on Tuesday. Ain't that right, Keith?
That's the plan. That's the expectation. That's the hope.
Next week, you could be back in the studio.
That's what I'm aiming for.
After a two-week hiatus. Well, here's what we've got coming up tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Keith is going to be with me for the first hour. We are going to unpack two news items of particular interest, and we're going to get to those at the beginning of the next segment. One of them is absolutely wild. One of them is absolutely almost unbelievable. It really goes to show what idiocracy is in a so-called democracy. We're going to get to that, and we're going to unpack it, and we're really going to unpack it in depth and look at it from all sorts of angles. But before we do that, I've just got to say, as we are broadcasting live tonight, Iran is in the process, as we speak, of bombing Israel. I mean, this is actually happening, and it's happening, obviously, as we are proceeding right now. I think some reports have anywhere between 100 to 500 killer drones that are armed with 20 pounds of explosives, and they're hurling them into Israel Right now, Keith, that's obviously could be something that escalates. You know, all of the rats in Congress are scurrying as quick as they can to show their full-throated support for Israel. And, of course, when Israel does this, you don't hear about it. Iran is retaliating, and it's everybody's, you know, seeing them as the aggressors here. But what do you make of it? I mean, just a hot take on this. It's really hard to, in terms of I don't guess we could have anticipated this happening in this actual moment, even though, of course, it's always been clear that this was a very real possibility. Where does it go from here? I mean, over the course of the next few hours, even as we're here tonight, this thing could kick up to the next level.
Well, this is no stab in the back, in my opinion. This is either brought on by a provocation, which was Israel bombing the Syrian embassy and killing a Iranian diplomat that had been targeted for death by Israel, or it's a false flag. I don't know which one it is, but quite frankly, I don't trust Israel on this thing. I don't trust the October 7th invasion or attack as being real. I think that it may have been provoked. It may have been overblown, or it may have, they use people who really aren't in the know. For example, on 9/11, those guys that flew those planes into the Twin Towers, I don't think they knew that they were being used by the United States government as a way to provoke America into engaging in 16 Middle Eastern wars in the next 20 years after that. But again, that's unfortunately the way our government operates. The USS Liberty attack back in 1967, where the Israeli Air Force attacked and tried to sink one of our naval ships, and it was their intention to blame it on the Egyptians and try to draw the Americans into that war. I think it was called the Six-Day War back then. So, all I can say is that I've got a healthy dose of skepticism about the bona fides of this attack, but we'll see what we see.
I'll take it at face value, just for argument's sake, and say Iran is doing this, and could you blame them?
It's either a provocation where they were actually provoked by that attack on their
That was just what, April 1st when that happened? That was just a few days ago. So
right.
Let's just say this is what it is. Where does it go from here? I mean, America could get in a hammer and tong at this point because, obviously
Israel's going to use that as an excuse to go to war against Iran. That's what they've been hungering to do for probably 20 years now. That we're the last, you remember that clear break memorandum that Paul Wolfowitz and Douglas Feith and other people had presented to the Clinton White House back in the mid-90s? For regime change in all the Middle Eastern countries. They have accomplished it except for Syria and Iran. So they're hungering to get Iran, particularly since Iran is either has developed a nuclear weapon or is on the verge of doing it. So we all have known for several years now that was foremost on the agenda of Israel. And we'll see if this is the excuse that they're wanting. I think they created an excuse, and they want to do it. The problem is America going to allow itself to be sucked into this war? And, of course, the Israelis are counting on that. It could easily escalate into World War III.
Exactly. And, of course, what I was trying to say a moment ago is that Israeli influence drives America's foreign policy. So there's no doubt about that. So we know what America's going to do. America is the
Well, you know what Pat Buchanan said years ago? Pat Buchanan said that Washington is Israeli-occupied territory. So.
That's exactly right. And ironically, it's sort of like the inverted, it is the golem. I mean, America is Israel's golem here. I think one thing that's different this time around, at least potentially, is the fact that Israel's reputation worldwide is just at rock bottom. I mean, outside of the media and the elite political class that are bought and paid for, if not Jewish themselves, this is a little bit different. They have really lost the narrative and the moral high ground, if they, I mean, they never had it, but at least it was perceived as though that they might, and all that's gone. So we'll see if they're able to pull this off. But yes, I mean, between now and next week, ladies and gentlemen, as this is happening live right now, these drone attacks, and it's going to take, it's going to be in waves over the course of the next few hours, according to all of these reports. I mean, all you got to do is just a quick search for Iran on your browser. You're going to see it all. And so this is happening, and we'll see what happens between now and next week. Now, with that being said, and us not being better prepared to talk about this, as I got news of this literally, I think, about 15 minutes before I went on the air. And we're not going to talk about it further tonight, but of course we will watch it as everyone else will, and develop opinions and see what happens and what the response is, and have a more detailed program about this next week, even though it will be Confederate History Month still. But yes, I wanted to at least make mention of it, to let you know we're aware of it, and to let you know that it is happening, because I mentioned it to Eddie just a few minutes ago, and he didn't even know it was happening yet. So maybe you didn't either.
Well,
so that is what's going on. We'll come back.
We've
got to take a break. Keith, the music's playing, and we'll be right back. Hey, friends. James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests include contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America. Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity. The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, switching gears now to something that we had planned to talk about tonight. This is wild, sad, infuriating, predictable. You heard the commercial, the new ad for Antelope Hill Publishing. They've got the Paul Kersey book, Whitey on the Moon, which talks about the collapse of the space program due to diversity. And we laugh going back. You know, we've mentioned this story before. Back in 1964, a Zambian teacher vowed that his country would beat America as the first country to put a man on the moon, and that they would go on to Mars. And he had a catapult-inspired firing system that was going to send a 10x6 aluminum and copper rocket holding 10 Zambians and a 17-year-old African girl and her cat to Mars. And he figured they could get to the moon by 1965. All he needed was $700 million from UNESCO to fund the project. And they worked hard at it, ladies and gentlemen. They did. The dream didn't come to fruition, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Trainees had to roll down a hill and a 44-gallon oil drum as part of an exercise to stimulate the sensation of rushing through space. And they even practiced for zero gravity by having them swing at the end of a rope, and they cut the rope when they reached the highest point so that they went into a free fall. And they even learned how to walk on their hands, because that was the only way humans could walk on the moon, so they were told. But again, it all came to naught because the United Nations wouldn't give them the $700 million. Plus, he couldn't keep his astronauts' minds off of sex. They got the girl pregnant, and the parents took her back to their village. Well, yeah, you look back and you say, well, you know, obviously this is a backwards nation. This is a third world nation. I mean, it's sort of funny, kind of sad. But America is becoming that. America is becoming not much more of a joke than what I just told you. Here's the story. That being said, to set the table, here's the story. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, out of Texas. You know, one of the times when Steve King was on the program, he told us some stories about his time with Sheila Jackson Lee when they were traveling the world together as part of a congressional delegation, and just how you know, wild she was, really, in terms of her manner of thinking. Well, everybody knows on Monday we had the big solar eclipse, and it was a big thing here in America because the path of totality ran through this swath from Texas up to Indiana. Well, the path of totality also passed through Sheila Jackson Lee's district. And because of that, she gave a speech at a high school in Texas about the moon. After all, the moon was blotting out the sun just right there where they were standing. And so here is the story. Sheila Jackson Lee stunned attendees at a high school solar eclipse event on Monday by claiming the rock-solid moon is a planet that is made up of gases, before she added that she wants to be the first in line to learn how to live there. She went on to say, "You've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon that is a complete rounded circle, which is made up of gas." And that's why, she continued, the question of why or how we as humans could live on the moon. And the gases are such that we could do that. "The sun is a mighty powerful heat," she said, "but it's almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is much more manageable." And she made some other questionable statements, like the moon has its own light when it's actually just reflecting the sun. And anyway, the thing is, all right, so Keith, first of all, Sheila Jackson Lee, congresswoman. Now you say, well, she went to a high school. They asked her questions about the moon. She ad-libbed it. She got some stuff, you know, embarrassingly wrong, but it could happen to the best of us. No, no. She was there to speak about the moon. She was reading from prepared remarks, from a script. I watched it. This wasn't some off-the-cuff question from a kid that caught her unawares. If this was either something that she wrote herself or that someone on her staff wrote and that she was reading from. So let's just start right there. But I would add this. This is the part that makes it even more newsworthy. She is the top Democrat on the House Science Committee on Space, Keith.
Can't make this stuff up, can you? I mean, I think that her head is filled with that gas that she thinks is the surface of the moon. She is, unfortunately, just a caricature. You cannot make the Ku Klux Klan could not make up a caricature of black people that would be any more absurd than what comes directly out of Sheila Jackson Lee's mind and mouth. You know, it's an embarrassment to have people like this, people this functionally illiterate, representing America or parts of America in our House of Representatives. It's just crazy. Why? And you know, this is why our ancestors had literacy tests, poll taxes, and other requirements that had to be passed in order to just vote, much less hold office. See, as you know, like Grandma said, you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town. If you've got a person who is a member of Congress, sitting member of Congress, and in an important position as the head of a subcommittee or committee of Congress, and believes that type of hogwash, my goodness, what, this is an embarrassment to the entire America, to the entire world.
All right.
The rest of the world thinks America has gone nuts.
Well, you, and this, of course, makes people think of the Hank Johnson quote a few years ago. Hank Johnson is a black Democrat congressman who is still in Congress representing Georgia's 4th congressional district. Hank Johnson was the one who famously, during a House subcommittee hearing, he was asking a member of the military, you know, if he thought, if he was concerned that if too many people went on one side of Guam, if the island would capsize from the weight being off balanced. And, you know, of course, the guy stifled a laugh and said, no, I don't, we haven't considered that to be a possibility, thinking that if too many people are on the side of an island, that it's going to tip up on its side and sink into the ocean. This is a member of Congress. But Sheila Jackson Lee, being the top Democrat on the House Science Committee's Space Subcommittee, saying that the moon's made of gas and we're going to live there, and it's easier to live there than on the sun because the sun's a little bit too hot, and prepared remarks. Here's another thing about Sheila Jackson Lee. All right, listen to this. She has a degree in political science with honors from Yale University and a law degree from the University of Virginia. She's a Yale graduate and thinks the moon's made of cheese, I guess.
That's affirmative action in action. And you see that a Yale degree and a University of Virginia law degree aren't what they used to be. People need to, employers need to realize this. You've got competent people and worthy people that have been kept out of places like that so that total buffoons, idiots like Sheila Jackson Lee can attend. This is, you know, but we need to return to meritocracy. We have the decision now. I hope that if Trump gets in, he will change his ways and actually do something that he has promised to do. And one of the things he needs to promise to do is stop pandering to blacks. He's already pandering to the blacks, thinking he's going to get some big chunk of their votes. If he believes that, somebody needs to sell him the Brooklyn Bridge, because he's, you know, that's never going to happen. And Sheila Jackson Lee, she wants to be the new coon on the moon. That was the song by Howling Wolf back in the 60s. And we played it when Barack Obama got elected, the show that we had that was nearest to that election. And it's an embarrassment to America. I remember when Obama came in, we thought we were going to put all this racial rancor behind us. All he did was notch it up several degrees. You know, it's just, it's been nonstop race ever since.
Oh, it's become
presidency.
So much more divided along racial fault lines now than ever before. Everything is race-based. Everything is racist. And I guess to an extent, everything it is, that's fine. But yeah, the idea that because of 2008's election of Obama, who ran against a guy who did everything he can to throw the election to him. I mean, John McCain did everything except beg people to vote for Obama with one of the worst campaigns in the history of American politics.
Well,
beautiful loser.
He was also
beautiful
one of the
loser.
Worst people, worst neocons we ever had.
Oh,
Steve,
yeah.
But
so what was the difference? But anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, the idea that people might have had back then, not incredibly smart people, but if people ever thought, well, we're entering into a post-racial America now, think again, that's for sure. But just a few more things about Sheila Jackson Lee. A senior member of the House Committees on the Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Budget. She also chairs the House Judiciary Subcommittee for Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security. So not only is she just in Congress, she's got a lot of plum positions, and including her position as the on the House Science Committee's Space Subcommittee. And this is what she thinks. I mean, this is middle grade elementary school lunar facts that. And you could just
look,
say, okay, well, she didn't know that.
A first
whatever.
Grader
I mean,
would be embarrassed to have that opinion, okay? You know, there's no child in the first grade that has any sense that would believe what Sheila Jackson Lee believes. Where does she get this garbage? You know, and these are the people to whom we have entrusted the government of our nation. What a shame. See, It all tracks back, like I said, to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. They started gerrymandering districts so they would elect a black. Well, who have the black people elected?
They've elected.
I want to
come back to that.
Like Sheila Jackson Lee.
I want to come back to that. I don't want to spend much more time on this, but I want to spend maybe two more minutes on this. On the flip side, talking about exactly your point, I want to elaborate a little bit more on that and further develop that. And then we're going to get into a pretty interesting poll. 20% of Americans now say they believe that violence is the only way to solve U.S. divisions. We'll be back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. Multiple people stabbed at a busy shopping center in Sydney, Australia. Police evacuated shoppers at Westfield Shopping Center in Bondi Junction, which is in the city's eastern suburbs. Police reportedly shot one of the two alleged suspects, and they were searching for the other. The Sydney Morning Herald reporting that four people died in that stabbing spree, although police have not confirmed that yet. The U.S. is expecting Iran to launch attacks against multiple targets inside Israel in the next few days and is prepared to help intercept any weapons launched at Israel.
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
President Joe Biden, during that White House briefing, said he expects that attack to come sooner rather than later. And his one message for Iran right now? Don't. Iran has been moving military assets the last few days, including drones and cruise missiles, giving the impression that they are getting ready to attack. Hunter Biden is going to have to face federal gun charges. A judge in Delaware has denied his attempts to dismiss three federal gun charges, making it more certain that a trial will happen this summer. Attorneys for Hunter Biden argued that an immunity agreement tied to his plea deal is still in effect. The judge said that an immunity provision in that plea deal, which ultimately fell apart, was made when both parties signed it. But the judge argued that the contract required approval from a probation officer, and the probation officer never signed off on it. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today, or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net. Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's take a quick listen to this for old time's sake.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Okay. All right.
It'd be different if he's speaking metaphorically or hyperbolically, but that's he actually thinks that's the physics that's involved in islands. These islands out in the ocean are floating, actually, not
yeah,
solidly.
Apparently, yeah, exactly. That's sitting United States Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia, and then sitting Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee giving a speech. Former head of the subcommittee on space, all right, in the House, and she's saying the moon's.
Well, we need to
gas.
Send them all to the moon. We need to get a group rate for them to go up to the moon under Sheila Jackson Lee's proposed new program.
And she's also, by the way, the author and lead sponsor of the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act, which established that day as a federal holiday. So that was her handiwork. So, see, this is the thing, Keith. To your point, and then we got to move on. We probably spent too much time on this, but I think as a point of emphasis, we needed to spend a little extra time on it just to show these are the people making the decisions. I mean, these are the top, if you count the United States representatives and senators, you're talking about the top 500 most powerful people in the world, really. And this is what you've got. And this is why I say, and this is Confederate History Month, I own everything about Southern history. The good, the bad, the indifferent. I don't know how much bad there was. People say, well, we were so evil because we had a segregated society. Well, you know, and this is why. I totally defend.
We're trying to avoid exactly what you're talking about here, having people like this rule over us as they did in Reconstruction. You know,
well,
this
I mean,
is,
not only are the cities unlivable, all right, if you have a sufficient diversity, the cities are absolute hellscapes, very violent, very dangerous, unlivable, basic civic duties aren't being carried out. It's a terrible, terrible reality. But then you've got this. So yeah, I say the poll tax, literacy tests. What's bad about that? Okay, what's bad about that? Because what happens
you've
gotta
is you got to keep people like Sheila Jackson Lee and Hank Johnson out of office. People like that have no business governing over anyone, but not and particularly the people that founded the United States of America or whose ancestors founded the United States of America.
Because when you have people like that vote, those are the kinds of people they vote in. And it's not just because they have a room temperature IQ. They are militantly, almost entirely motivated with an anti-white animus of hatred. And that's the thing. For the ones that are a little bit smarter than that, they become particularly potent because they're able to go in there and wield that power to ends that are, of course, very detrimental.
They just get smart enough to be dangerous. They're like Lady Carolyn Lamb said of her boyfriend, Lord Byron. They're mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
So anyway, that's that. And suffice it to say, this is just the latest example that we could bring to your attention to prove the point that it's going to take a lot more than soap and water to clean up this mess. And we've got this situation now where there's a poll out, brand new poll. This is a PBS NewsHour reporting on it. But one in five Americans, that's 20%, believe, according to this poll, that violence is the only way to solve U.S. divisions. So there is a new movie out that I actually do want to go see and that I will see as soon as the opportunity presents itself. It's a movie sufficiently, I guess, enough called and basically enough called Civil War. And it's supposed to be a pretty sweeping dramatization of what could happen here. I don't know. Let's listen to the trailer and give you a sneak peek at this in theaters. It opened just this week, the movie Civil War, and then we'll go back to that poll.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
I guess aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America.
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
Moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, in theaters now. I don't know, Keith, if that movie is supposed to be some sort of a warning or if it's supposed to be instructive. I guess it depends on where you think America is and where it could be heading. But it is provocative. Brad Griffin, seeing it, I believe, tonight, is going to be writing a review about it, and we'll talk to him about that as soon as we can. But, yeah, so that's out in theaters right now, and because of that, because it's getting so much hype as an Oscar-worthy, that doesn't mean much, believe me, but this is supposed to be one of the big movies out this year, and this new poll reads as such. One in five U.S. adults believe Americans may have to resort to violence to get their own country back, according to the latest PBS NewsHour NPR Marist poll, an attitude that experts say puts the nation on an incredibly dangerous path in the months before the 2024 presidential election. Keith, take it away.
I think it's another trap like January the 6th. I remember when people were saying, you haven't got a hair on your posterior unless you go down there to Washington, D.C., and demonstrate. I said, look, folks, it's a trap. Don't go for it. It's the same thing as Charlottesville. If you go down there, you'll regret it, live to regret it. And I was proved to be prophetic about that. And same thing with this. Don't listen to these things. Don't let anybody persuade you that there's a call to arms like Lexington and Concord, and you need to be in there claiming your spot in the Hall of Fame. What we need to do is just sit back and wait for America to fall apart. That is what is happening right before our eyes. Look at, the border situation. We can't control anything. Obama made sure that they took control of the military, but the military now, I don't know if we could beat Guatemala in a war stand up. Okay. It's just, if we do, somebody said that if we can't win the war from 30,000 feet, we're in trouble because the boots on the ground we have are trannies and lesbians and homosexuals and soy boys.
Because they've weeded out all
real
of the
men.
Real men have been weeded out if they've been found out to be real men.
Yeah, they don't want them. And quite frankly, I would never recommend one of my children to join the U.S. Armed Forces.
Hell no.
You know, my
Hell
father
no.
was prescient enough back in the Vietnam era to say, look, they could win that war if they wanted to. They just want cannon fodder. And I didn't raise you to be cannon fodder. This is a man that won a Bronze Star in the Battle of the Bulge in World War II in the U.S. Army.
What side?
What side?
All right. Well, listen,
he's
I got to say
the American
this.
Side, but as General Patton said, we fought, the Americans fought on the wrong side. We should have joined with the fascists to defeat the communists rather than join with the communists to defeat the fascists.
Hard to look at America now and say, you know what, thank God, we're better off. At least we don't speak German. That's, you know, the old tagline.
No, I tell you what, I'd rather be speaking German than have my children have their sex reassigned by the authorities without my approval, you know.
Well, you got to ask yourself, is America better or worse off now than it was then? And did our participation in World War II have anything to do with it? And I think the answer is no and yes.
And
no, we are not better off. And yes, our participation had something to do with it. We weren't going to be speaking German either way. I mean, they weren't coming over here. But certainly,
no,
I
they
think
didn't
we
want
have
that. See, that's a big lie about Hitler that he was wanting to conquer the world. His program is called Ein Volk, One People. He wanted all the German speaking sectors of Europe to be under one government. That was the extent of it. And he basically, if they'd left the boundaries where they were for Germany before World War One, they would have had it. He just basically wanted to restore the status quo before the war.
Right.
And, you know, that we just need to understand that, you know, there's an 800-pound gorilla in our living room called Jewish Power and Influence that has been responsible for every misstep, every bad policy that America has suffered under since 1913.
I don't even know, except for Godwin's Law, how we got on to the topic of World War II. We're chasing a rabbit here a little bit on that. But I would say this, going back to this poll by PBS and NPR and Marist. Yeah, I mean, of course, it goes without saying. I don't think there should be any confusion on this for anybody who regularly listens to this program. Don't go out and do anything stupid. Don't advocate for violence. Certainly don't participate in it. Don't go out and fancy yourself
a martyr.
But, and I'll continue with the but after this, it does not, I don't think, Keith, it does not discount the fact that there is a lot of unrest in this country and everything is unraveling and people
are... A lot of dissatisfaction.
Well, we'll talk about that. That much I do believe is real, and we'll talk about that on the flip side.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
All right, so one more segment on this, and then we're going to slip back into our Confederate History Month series. We're going to continue this discussion with Dr. Michael Hill of the League of the South in the next hour. This poll is a catalyst for a lot of the program tonight. 1 in 5 Americans believe that violence will need to be resorted to in order to get their country back. Now, again, as Keith said, we're not telling you to go out and do it. They're just saying that there's no way to solve the problems. You're not going to vote your way out of this, so on and so forth, unless something drastic happens. But it goes on, and I didn't get to this point. In addition, 41% of Americans overall said the nation has gotten so far off track that it needs an authoritarian leader willing to break the rules. Looking across partisan lines, 56% of Republicans, 28% of Democrats, and 37% of Independents agree. It goes on to say that 51% of Americans overall said immigrants who enter the U.S. illegally should be deported. An opinion shared by 84% of Republicans and 55% of Independents. The Democrats don't believe that, of course. 47% of Americans overall say discrimination against white people is every bit as much of a problem as it is against any other group. And 77% of Republicans agree on that. So, look, here's these takeaways. 20% of the country now believes 1 out of 5. That is pretty staggering when you're talking about something this radical. 20% say violence is the only way to heal America. 77% of Republicans say that anti-white racism is the big issue. 84% of Republicans say that all illegal immigrants should be deported. So, Brad Griffin, with that, continues in his commentary to OccidentalDissent.com. I'm reading from Brad now. As I've said for years, we should retire terms like alt-right and dissident right, which no longer makes sense in the 2020s. It makes more sense just to blend in now. Our ideas are ascendant. White grievance politics is the motor that animates the Republican coalition now, the Republican base. Polls like this continue to illustrate how far removed we are from William F. Buckley-style conservatism. And again, the galvanizing statements were what the Republican half of the country believes. 84% say all illegal aliens should be deported. 77% believe that discrimination against white people is a huge issue. 77% said that America is too politically correct. We agree with all of this. So, again, we have in rapid fashion over the course of the last 4 years, especially, Keith, really closed the gap between our positions and the quote-unquote mainstream.
I think you're right. We're, we were country before country was cool, as the old song said. We had these ideas back 20 years ago, and now they're mainstream. People that used to want us banned and wouldn't give us a platform and took away our ability to process payments and checks and whatnot, they're now singing from the same hymn book as we are. What has happened is you just need to wait. You need to be prepared to be armed and to resist if someone attacks you. But armed resistance is not the same thing as initiating some type of revolution. Don't fall for that under any circumstances. The left, their ideas and their programs are so absurd that they are the biggest danger to themselves that exists. For example, Jewish power and influence is all behind the idea of open borders. Well, be careful what you wish for. Your dream may come true. All these Palestinians are now in America, and they're mad, hopping mad about what's going on at Gaza and in Israel and in the Middle East right now. And these people are a built-in fifth column, you know. They know where the Jewish synagogues are and where the Jewish neighborhoods are. And, you know, these people have been imported into America by the Jewish contingent. You know, who knew? They will self-destruct themselves if you allow them to. It's just crazy. I don't wish any harm for anyone, but on the other hand...
Of course. But if you have a nation, which a nation is a people, a nation isn't a country or a government or a geographical plot of land. We say this all the time. A nation is a race. And if you have a so-called nation, which is what we call the United States, of people of every different tribe and religious belief and you name it, no ties that bind, no commonality. You try to put them in the same living space. What do you expect? And the fruits are rapidly coming to bear now. But I would say this. And this is not going to end well. This whole diversity, multicultural experiment, no multicultural or multiracial civilization or society. There's never been a multiracial civilization, but no society has ever stood the test of time. America's not going to make it 50 years like this. Pat Buchanan wrote the book, Suicide of a Superpower.
Empire. The Roman Empire died from diversity.
Well, but, you know, Buchanan
wrote the
book.
From barbarians from without, but from barbarians from within.
Buchanan wrote the book Suicide of a Superpower, Will America Survive to 2025? Even here in April of 2024, that is still an unanswered question. I don't know the answer to that. I want to play this, though, for you, Keith, and get a quick response. We're running out of time. But this is one thing I've really enjoyed over the course of the last several weeks, talking to so many people around the world in Europe. Our ideas really are ascendant, not just here. There's something going on. And it's gotten so bad in Europe now, of course, they're arresting people for nothing. I mean, Dries Van Langenhove, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, former member of the Belgian Parliament, going to jail for not reprimanding somebody for sending a funny meme. But I was talking to Keith Woods and Ruben Kaleb, Anke van der Meers, Belgian senator. She's coming up in an interview in the American Free Press that we're working on. I talked to her a couple of days ago. And her party, Vlaams Belang, is the most popular party in Belgium. Ruben Kaleb's party is the second most powerful in Estonia. These are right-wing, I mean, truly, truly right-wing parties, not like the alternative for Deutschland. We talked with Sascha Rossmuller. But listen to this. So there is, and all of these people agree, even in spite of all of the draconian punishments that are befalling our people, they're hitting with a heavy hammer right now. Well, all of these people agree that the populist right is ascendant throughout the white world. Are we in power anywhere? No. But are we better off than we were at any point in the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? The answer has always been yes. There is a group in Spain called Núcleo Nacional. This is a Spanish Christian group, and they are making a lot of traction over there, getting a lot of press. Let's listen to this, and I'll translate because it's in the Spanish language. For decades, our land has been turned into a dunghill. Violence, insecurity, drugs, immorality, family destruction, plundering of our jobs, degenerate indoctrination of the youngest and sexual crimes against our women, sisters. All the things that our ancestors gave us with blood and sacrifice are being demolished, and we are doing nothing to stop it. Is this really what you want for your homeland? Is our land not worth the sacrifice? You know who our enemies are, just as you know what they want to do to us. Enough of being afraid. Existence is not life, nor is it death. Existence is struggle, and if we are not willing to live, then we do not deserve to live. Our organization invokes the fight. We don't want to live a life that degrades men, but to recover the forms of life that once dignified him. And then they go on to say how you can get more information. This is an ascendant group in Spain. So, yes, I do believe in, you know, is the darkest hour just before dawn or before the light goes out entirely? We'll find out. But I still, Keith, I still, in these darkest of days, have hope. I truly do. Last minute is
well, I do, too. I was listening to the tone of that speech, and it sounded like Patrick Henry famous, give me liberty or give me death speech. You know, you're going to have to do something, because if you sit by and stick a sock in your mouth, it's not going to turn out well. You know, people think that somehow they're going to be one of the remnant that prospers and gets to be multimillionaires while everybody else is cast into hopeless poverty, and the America becomes, or Europe becomes a dysfunctional battleground, something out of Mad Max or something. Well, let me tell you, it ain't going to happen the way you bet. Being quiet and never speaking out is not the way to handle it. We are blessed with the First Amendment in America. We can speak out, at least for the time being, even though people are trying to rein us in. But you've got to use that. You cannot self-censor yourself. You've got to speak out about all the bad things that are happening, make people aware of them, because if we don't, it will soon be too late. We've got to do something about this, and we've got to speak, and we've got to use our freedom of expression to the hilt.
Keith, even though I have long since been banned from Twitter, along with every other social media platform and every credit card processing company in the universe, as I like to say, I notice right now that World War III is the top trend on Twitter. Yeah, folks, things can change. Things can change. So long as we breathe, we hope. And Keith, I hope to see you next week. I hope you get a good doctor's visit. You're allowed to drive again, and we'll be together in the studio rather than on the phone. But we will talk to you next week one way or the other. Coming up next, Dr. Michael Hill as Confederate History Month continues on TPC. Stay tuned, everybody.